is coming! The shot! He scores! He scores! Keith Primo is able to win! Simon Gagné! We've got a game seven!
The Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
What's up, everybody? It's episode 120 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast, as we call it, episode one, Sean Couturier.
Plus can't even say it.
Robert Hague. How's everyone doing out
there? Hague is eight. Fuck. Sandheim is six. Don't pause it.
I'm not going to pause it. I'm not going back. It's fine. My math's a little off today.
It's okay, though. It's much better.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's episode 120. The Flyers are on a four-game win streak after a wallop of a week where we saw them beat the Edmonton Oilers, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Toronto Maple Leafs, all Canadian teams, showing Canada who cashes the check. That's right, the American team. It's Drew Papsky here. Got Jeff DeAngelis. And Doyle's back after his hiatus from being dead. So
yeah, you died.
Doyle, we're glad to have you.
Diabetes got
the arc. We wrote you out of the script in the arc of the podcast for the remainder of the season.
Just in case you were going to hold out for contracts.
Yeah, we really were a little worried about it.
I really debated not being here until after Christmas, so I didn't have to hear Auld Lang Syne.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, folks. We'll get to that later. But first... The Flyers are now...
But first, Auld Lang Syne.
So it's we're 12-11-7 now. It's a hockey 500 over 500.
Over 500. Yeah.
Yeah, with 31 points, we're 4 points out of a wild card spot.
Oh boy,
this is the second longest win streak in the NHL right now. People, 4 games in a row. Can you believe it? Hold on to your seats. The season's not over.
It doesn't matter because the season's over.
Oh yeah, why?
Because they lost 10 games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
You can't come back from that.
Statistically, true. I don't think they can lose another game all season.
Oh damn, there's a lot more games in hockey. Yeah. So they play 82 or something. Shit.
We'll be fine. Playoffs, here we come.
It's like a third trimester. There's no way going. No way you can go back.
Nah, it's too late then.
At least not in this country. But anyway.
Question that fall down the steps for sure.
What? They're falling down the steps. Okay, anyway. So a 4-2 win over the Oilers,
Jesus.
A 4-1 win over the Canucks, and a 4-2 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So going back to this week, I guess we can start off with a little segment called What Did We Learn? So, Jeff, what did you learn about the Flyers this week after after up and down couple weeks in November there, we weren't sure where this team was heading, and everyone was calling the sky falling. What did you learn about the team this week since we last spoke?
When they stop taking so many penalties, it makes it easier to win games. Thoughts?
Great observation.
Right?
Yeah. Especially the dumb penalties are really like the kind of momentum killer penalties where you have some of your best players like Simmons and Voracek taking dumb, lazy stick checking penalties or
over these past
penalties.
Four, like they've taken penalties and like they've given up some power play goals, but it's not anywhere to the level that it was when they were losing 10 in a row. So that's pretty good. And Voracek, yeah, he's looked better, and Simmons has looked better. They're not taking as many lazy like trips where I'm going to put my stick under the guy's feet and then complain about it. Like it's not a trip.
Well, in the last three games since we spoke, including the Oilers game, the Toronto game, the Vancouver game, the Flyers have been on the penalty kill 5 times and only surrendered 1 goal, and that was to the Maple Leafs the other night.
Right.
So that's all you have. So I think it's a great point. The penalty kill has actually gone up a couple percentage points.
So don't fire LaPerriere yet.
10%
Yeah, still good.
It went from 76.28 all the way up to 76.47%.
Hot damn.
Jumping from 27th in the league down to 29th. But it doesn't matter, though, because it was still effective.
It was really bad when the Flyers...
I was thinking absolute value in my head. So it was going to work out better.
It was really bad when the Flyers played the Oilers, and all they were saying were like, God, the Oilers' penalty killing is atrocious. And then the Flyers... didn't have that many power
terrible.
Play goals at all against them.
57% at home,
Oilers. You're like, oh, great.
Well, the Flyers jumped to 19% on power play from 17.97 last week up to 17th from 18th. So they got better, you know?
Well, that's what happens when you start winning.
The Flyers went 2-for-6 on versus Vancouver. They went 1-for-4 versus the Oilers, and they went 0-for-1 against the Leafs. So, but still, even strength scoring was their strong suit in the first opening weeks of the season. So, that's something to do. Doyle, what did you learn this week with the Flyers?
The NHL still does not know what goalie interference is.
Or what penalties are.
Yeah, that too.
Well, Well, does that mean we could even speak on that? If they don't, if they're a league and they made it, how can we really speak on it?
Yeah, this has been a common trend across the whole league because I've been watching NBC sports games and the refs really just
no.
Nah, it's like hit or miss.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
They should probably have a ref class in the summer.
Well, so what I was talking to Mike Bond about, not on Scuttlepuck, which we have a good clip to play from Scuttlepuck later. But we were talking about taking the refs off the ice and kind of doing like what they do in tennis, where you just put a guy like in a tower and he watches everything from on high. And then he calls penalties from there.
Control North Tower, control the game.
That also gets rid of two zilches in the offensive zone for your team. And it clears up the ice space. So, like, if you're trying to clear the puck, it won't hit the ref and stay in the zone, you know?
That would be nice. It just kind of gets rid of the old on-the-ice official.
You have them mic down to the one ref that's on the ice?
Yeah, well, yeah, or just have them keep the linesman on the ice and then just have them whistle the play dead, and then the guy from the box is just like, I can see everything. Like, I know it's you who did it.
Well, what if would he be able to, like, supersede what the ref on the ice says?
Well, there would be no ref on the ice anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when there'd
just be some guy in
so
like
there'd
a tower.
Be like two cans and a string going down to the scorer's box.
They have microphones and shit. They can figure it out.
Is the tower made of ivory?
Yes.
Okay.
Or he what's his face? The Blue Blazer. He just like hangs from the rafters and swings back and forth.
And then he just falls down and dies.
Or like Sting up in the rafters just looking down.
That'd be so cool.
Exactly.
Listen here, if I could see like Gudas argument call, you're up there in your ivory tower, not even know what's going down the ice here. Listen here, bucko. You can take it and shove it, and that's when Gudas
the refs would probably never
flyer.
Go for it, but it would be
just turns into the WWE. Players start yelling up at the guy.
No,
in
the know
rafters.
What? NHL would sell a lot more tickets and a
probably,
lot more a lot more TV time, I think. I mean, we have our dedicated fans, but
you
they,
just
they
start,
lose all those and just gain all the mouth breathing ones don't like hockey already. There's plenty of mouth breathing hockey fans, let's be honest.
You just start making characters. Like Gudas could start face painting, whatever, and then look like the Ultimate Warriors. And yeah.
He probably hopefully doesn't die.
You open up a whole new thing of t-shirt sales and whatever.
I don't think he has enough steroids in his system
never,
for that.
Gudas would come from like most suspended player to like the biggest like heel like Stone Cold.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Everyone would love him. Like, oh my God, he just cut his face open with a skate. Oh my God, stop the match.
Exactly.
The Gudas slam.
Yeah, he would get booed all the time everywhere he went. It'd be like the Ric Flair.
He would grow his beard out and just braid it down like to the middle of his chest.
Yeah, like Khal Drogo.
Yeah, that's what he would do.
Yeah.
Except he wouldn't die. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys.
Been
out for a few years now. The book's been out for way longer. Just saying.
read, nerds.
Yeah. Why'd you ever do that? And what I learned this week, I learned that the winning streak doesn't really mean anything. I don't give a damn about the winning streak. I mean, sorry, the losing streak.
Oh.
Anymore.
I was going to say, winning streak is good things.
Good,
sorry,
many good.
The losing streak. I mean, who gives a fuck about it?
Yeah, well, you would never know that they lost 10 games in a row if you look at Twitter after
they went 0-5
the Leafs game.
10 games in a row is fake news. They went 0-5-5 because in those five games, you still get a point. Right. The Flyers have won
points
four straight.
Points don't matter.
Do they have a W at all in any of those games?
No.
Then they didn't win them.
But it doesn't matter. In the NHL, there's these three-point games. You still need, I'm not saying it was good, but you got 5 points. The Flyers are 4-3-3 in our last 10. They've gotten 7 points out of the last 10 contests. All right? Now, they can't lose that many, especially those five games regulation. They can't leave many points on the board in overtime. But I think I've found that this team is better than that 10-game winning streak, or losing streak, like Hextall said.
Oh, you don't say.
And, yeah, I think the coach is right on this one. So.
Well, coach doesn't know anything, so.
No, he's a boob.
You're wrong.
See, Doyle was so much better last week when you weren't feeding him. so much nicer. On episode one, Sean Couturier plus Braden Coburn. Oh, I know math now.
It's Sam Morin, actually.
Five?
Yeah.
114 plus five?
Dude, Coburn's not on the team anymore.
Yeah. I had amnesia.
Morin's not on the team anymore either.
I'm going back to long-term memory, okay? I got hit in the head a couple years ago.
Long-term IR, more likely.
That's true.
That's not good. That's not good.
Twitter's at a weird spot now, too, where like a lot of people quit on the team, so they're not even bothering to tweet anymore. And then the people that are...
Good, don't come back if they make the playoffs.
Well, so then the people that stayed with it are the ones that were also like, you should fire the coach and burn down the whole team. And now that they won four in a row, they don't know what to say either.
What, four in a row?
So Twitter's just kind of like a graveyard.
An elephant graveyard? Like the Lion King?
Who's Juan, by the way?
Yeah, who's Juan? Who's this Juan
Why
guy you're talking
to? Why do you have to do this?
They Juan?
Why do you have to do this? How I pronounce it.
But why?
Who's Juan?
I don't know.
We went to the same high school. I know you, you weren't that retarded.
Whoa. Not the hard R, buddy.
What?
Not the hard R. Jesus. That's offensive.
You can't just drop hard R's everywhere.
We're going to get letters.
Oh, good.
We're going to get letters.
A lot, big R's then.
Letters.
I got 2 letters for you. F-U. How about that?
I can't help my pronunciation, but you can help being a bigot.
I'm not being a bigot.
I'm being
a smollet. Like their IQs. Anyway, so back to my original point.
Jesus.
What do you guys think, though? The 10 game losing streak? I mean, did it really wear? I mean, do you think thoughts on my thought?
Does it matter?
We're moving on. It doesn't
certainly
really matter.
Matters.
It's going to matter down the road.
Yeah,
at
when
some
they
point.
Miss the playoffs by like 4 points.
Basically,
but the other games they lost, and I mean the losing streak, yes, all in a row, but you still lose games throughout the year because, oh, we could have won those two instead of we lost two in a row.
If they lost those 10 games in a row while getting 5 points and then come out right now and win 6 more in a row, then sure, maybe you'd negate some of it.
Okay. But the Flyers, I mean, they haven't won these games as like nail biters. Most of them have been convincing wins.
Yeah. And like,
you win 4-2 versus the Oilers. Like, yeah, they got an empty netter in that game.
When I did this week's Scuttlepuck, we talked about how the Oilers and Flyers are in similar positions where, like, they're a few points out of, like, a wild card spot, so they're not out of it yet. And the only good news for the Flyers, and I don't know if it's the same way for the Oilers, but they have so many divisional games at the end of the season that as long as they don't make them 3-point games, there's no reason why the 10-game losing streak would prevent them from making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's, like, the best thing is that most of the Flyers games coming up are actually against divisional opponents.
Yeah, like as long as they don't leave points on the table, create 3-point games or just lose them outright. Like there's really, the Flyers are, they basically can make their own destiny.
Yeah.
So that's good at least. I don't know what other teams are like that, but the Flyers have such a backlog of divisional games that if they just win them, they'll be all right.
Yeah, and they're only 4 points out of the wild card spots, which are both being held at this point. The Penguins are right ahead of us, below the wild card spot, but the Rangers and the Islanders hold it down. So it looks like the Metro is the division to beat this year.
Yeah, once again,
which
the
it was
Metro
last year too, but Atlantic. Yeah.
The
is
Metro in comparison to the Atlantic division is awful.
It's Tampa Bay and Toronto and Atlantic, and everyone else just stinks.
Really surprised that the
it literally is Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Boston's only in it because they're in a weak division. Everyone else is below that, but Boston has been, as Jeff would say, coming on strong lately. And won 8 of the last 11 or something.
Really
like
surprised
that
the Rangers are doing as well as they are still.
Why didn't you ask who Strong was?
Figured that would have fell off. Well, I'm just trying to go past it.
Strong Belwas, more Game of Thrones references.
God damn it.
Strong Belwas.
That's a better, I like that reference better.
Eating the honey locust and getting a bellyache. That's a good reference from the fourth or fifth book, Drew, that no one probably read. I don't even know who made it to the show. But whatever, the books
it
are better.
It probably didn't, it was kind of an inconsequential moment.
I stopped watching. It was great, though. Like, oh, too many honey locusts. I got a bellyache. Just a big, strong, dumb warrior eating too many sweets that were poisoned, but they couldn't kill him because he was such a big, bad guy. Love it. Anyway, speaking of big, bad guys, Radko Gudas came back this week.
Yeah, he did.
Serving his 10-gamer.
He did not.
So was Radko
Gudas. He looked rusty.
Was he the glue holding this team together? I mean,
I don't know,
he comes back.
10 games is a pretty long time. Well, they started winning before he came back, right?
McDonald is the glue that holds this team together.
He is. McDonald's the glue.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Why is he so sticky?
No,
because the defense fell apart when he was gone.
Well, just think about the pairings now. When McDonald's there, he plays with Provorov.
Right.
Well, the next pairing is the one that has been probably one of the best for Ghost's sake.
Him and Haig. Him and who?
Bob.
Oh, who's Bob? His not his name, Jeff. His name is
Gilbert Haig.
That's his name. Bob. Bobrovsky, the Vezina winner we traded? Nah, get out of town.
No,
so Bob.
That's what you think of him, huh?
You lifted up for that one.
No, I didn't. I leaned it forward. The mics didn't hear it. Sorry, I just cracked.
Yes, they did.
The other mics definitely heard it.
I cracked my back. There's an air pocket in my
Anytime
back.
Anytime you say the mics haven't heard it, they definitely heard it.
No.
That was a good one. That had a lot of reverb on the chair, too.
That's the new mixer, actually.
Had
it's
a great,
upsetting.
Had a great pitch to it.
Deep, had some gusto.
Ooh, mi gusto. Combine two languages. That's my character called Combine the Language Droops. He only speaks English well.
No, it's not.
Even, he doesn't even speak English that, he speak English that well, apparently.
Me gusta.
But, yeah, so Ghost and Rupert Haig, that solidifies like a
right.
Like you have a Ghost is a veteran in name only, but he's still learning a lot at this stage of his career. Still young defenseman, and then Sanheim with Gudas. Gudas has been on the upper echelon of Flyers forwards in age, and he plays with Sanheim, who is a more offensive minded, and Gudas can play a little more conservative game and not worry about getting caught up in the play. Although Gudas has a Howard true of a shot from the point if he gets enough time to get it off.
There are a couple times against the Leaf where
the Leaf just won. I hate that they're called the Leafs, too, not the Leaves. It's just awful, like, Canadian English.
There was a couple times against the Leafs where Sanheim went in for a pinch.
And he won a puck battle.
And he never came back out. He was
He never came back out. But Gudas cycled over and covered for him, so it didn't really turn into anything.
Well, that also is probably not only because Gudas is more of a stay-at-home guy, but also they don't have two rookies on the same pair anymore.
And then Chris Therrien shit on Sanheim's face again. When they came back from commercial and they did the replays, and Terry is just like, yeah, he needs to, once he loses the puck, he needs to get out of the zone.
Yeah.
He's making poor, poor decision.
Hearing Terry and say ass in between the benches, I forget what he said during the Leafs game when I rake them.
My favorite was...
he said like something about like they got to like get... Not their head out of their ass. He said something like, you know, he said kick ass or get his ass
get
back
their
there. Guess,
get their ass in gear.
Yeah, he said something like that. And I was just like... I did just hear that on TV. Like, even drunk-ass Coatsy didn't say that kind of stuff.
There was the trivia question in the Leafs game was
we're changing the narrative. The Leafs game.
Who had a shutout?
There's a petition for that.
Who had a shutout like 19 years ago, and the answer was John Van Beesbrook. And Therrien was like, yeah, I wish you would have saved some of those saves for the playoffs. And you're like, oh, man.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Yeah, I saw that question. I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, Bundy's really carrying that around with him. That was like 19 years ago, and he's still bitter about it.
Yeah. You were held up by Eric Desjardins unless you were playing against Jagr. I mean, no one really knew who you were. He's in the best shape of his life.
I love hot dogs.
15 years past his career. It's always good.
Well, now speaking he's a girls' basketball dogs, coach.
Speaking of hot dogs, I'm going to start referring to Dollar Dog Night at Wells Fargo Center as Phil Kessel Night.
They should do it versus the Penguins, and it's like, ha, I'm on the screen. Ha, I'm Phil Kessel. I ain't dollar hot dogs. Just
it's a picture of him wearing the American flag jacket.
Yeah.
Just throwing hot dogs in the air.
Hey, Phil Kessel would be a lovely addition to this team. I can't lie. But he's on the Penguins. So
his face
is
just so fat.
Should be crucified. If the nails can hold that freaking doughy punch face up.
Face. But yeah, he's pretty good. He's having a good year.
Again, he's...
Which is really disappointing.
He got to the Penguins and had like a weird little, like, was doing well, then cooled off, and then he just picked it up in the first cup run, then picked it up again last year, and then, he's a good player, and he's playing on a team with a lot of good players. So, Drew, that makes sense. So why wouldn't he do
it? And the Leafs fans just hate him because they were like, he quit on the team.
I think it's a surprise
what winning does.
I think the Leafs organization has quit on wanting to put a winning product on the ice. Was it Brian Burke was a GM there for a while?
When Kessel was there, especially the last year, they were awful.
Oh, yeah, they were super bad.
And he was like, no, get me out of here.
And they said, we'll just trade Luke Shen to the Flyers, desperate for D, and we'll get that young JVR guy who has been hot and cold. They would get him on the right path and build around him as a core top six forward. And look at them now.
Yeah, they were talking about it last night.
Yeah, would you be opposed to signing JVR in the offseason?
I would not be opposed to it. If the price was right for a price.
They were talking about it during the game and how, like, JVR is only, like, 28, 29, but he's not part of the young core of the team anymore.
Oh, yeah, with all the other guys on the team.
So they're like, he's in a real weird spot because now he has to, like, go get a contract somewhere and the Leafs probably aren't going to re-sign him.
You really think they won't re-sign him?
I don't think he's in their plans moving forward.
Okay.
They got a lot of money to
look at what happened
places.
To Joffrey Lupo.
Joffrey Lupo with the Wolf.
Why can't you stay healthy?
Yeah.
According to him, though, he got done over by them, but he actually failed a physical again after he said that.
Yeah, he failed like two physicals. Your contract's terminated. See you later.
I wonder what the excuse was for Gagne. I did not say we're going to sign you. Don't worry. Like, sorry, big guy.
I was still mad about that because they definitely could have used him.
Because they weren't going to win the cup that year. So might as well have sold
especially
some tickets
as a third line winger. I mean, if you looked up at the roster right now, from that year, who was playing third line winger? I can't even remember. But
what year was it?
after the lockout year. So
the 2013-2014
when we got beat in the first round by the Rangers.
Oh, you're right. It was 13-14 because the 12-13 was the lockout year. That was a short. That's when Voracek had his first.
Yeah,
because
they brought him back at the end of the lockout year, and he actually played pretty decent.
Yeah, we made that trade for him.
Yeah. Let's look at such names as Jason Akeson. Steve Downey.
Yeah, I remember got him back, too. That was a weird tournament. I forgot about that.
Adam Hall.
Oh, my God.
Great, Scott Cardinal. Great fourth line center.
Vinny. Time again. I think Chris Newberry played a couple games.
Everybody thought Time Again was going to be this, like, oh, dude, he plays Flyers hockey, got in a fight during a game once. He's going to be the best. He scored a goal once. Like, no.
Well, Jay Rosehill, of course.
Oh, my God.
Simmons was there. Max Talbot. Vandeveld,
yeah, we still had some of those people. Okay.
Yeah, Gagne could have slotted
so far, nicely. Yeah.
Well, the Vinny money.
Definitely could have replaced
the
Adam
Vinny LeCavalier money there wasn't really helping. That was also when Laviolette was still on the team.
Adam Hall. You know, he's really good at face-offs.
Yeah. He's really good at that. That's about it.
Also, he carries the water back from practice every day. He's a good team guy. He's like
really
the,
good at winning face-offs.
Like the fat, wasteful kid that has no fire under his ass that you keep on the football team so because he carries the water and is a good team guy. Like, oh, he's just a nice guy. We all kind of make fun of.
He really tries.
Yeah. It's so, yeah, that like after that, I mean, obviously it always comes down to Pronger, but like after that 2012 season, just the Flyers roster, especially on defense, but just overall was just very weird.
Well, the 2010 thing, we had some really good core players, and then we just had we got hot at the right time with the other extra people, minus people that were named Krychek and Parent.
And Leighton.
Although Leighton was pretty hot for a little while. You got to give him that. I know we want to hate him. But
only Boucher.
I want to hate
hurt.
Him only because he would be like, he would make these crazy saves and then just like get five-holed. Or
like Brian Elliott is now.
Or what's his face? Ben Eager. That goal forever just burned into my mind.
The fluttering change up from the blue line?
Yeah.
I believe it was a wired top shelf slap shot. Okay.
Yeah, laser.
All right.
It was Spetsnaz.
Yeah.
Listen, this is that part of the, if you guys have never listened before, this is that part every 10 to 15 episodes or so we reflect
reminisce.
On the 2010 season. You can tell.
What could have been?
You can't hear the agony in our hearts and our voices.
Just the anger that we still hold.
It's like that one girlfriend that you break up with, the one that got away.
What's a girlfriend?
Great White Buffalo.
Those the ones you pay?
She's not a friend if you have to pay.
So what do you do with
She's
that?
She's an acquaintance.
Like, I don't know. The one girl at the Motel 6 who threw her key card out the window because she was scared I was a cop. $200 later.
Joke's on her.
That seems reasonable.
$200 later, I'm driving home happy.
You do look like a cop.
I'm a cop.
I'm a cop.
Every keg party my freshman year of college, like, dude, what are you? You a cop? No.
What are you, a narc?
No. I'm sitting here pouring out beers at the house. Like, oh, the heck. I'm sure I told this story before. I just go up to the front of the line. Like, hey, man, God, you started. Like, dude, thanks. Always kids like, dude, man, thanks for having me your party. Like, oh, no problem.
You're like the coolest dad ever.
And I'd be like, all right, guys, hold on. Beer guy needs a drink. And, like, you know, just to start chugging the beer. Like, oh, dude, yeah, Phil, but you need a drink, man. It's hard work up here. I'm like, yeah, you know, they don't give. That's a union job. They don't like pay me as well they should, you know. I was like, oh, just bust balls like that and just get my $5 cup worth until the keg ran out. And they said, there's cops. Everyone would leave.
Yeah.
Then sometimes I make friends. I'm like, oh, you pull the move where you know the people or you make friends with them. They say, nah, dude, you brought girls. You can stay. All right. We just want to kick them out. Okay, cool. And they bring out like three or four more cases of Natty Light. It's like, dude, there's still a party here. It's well worth your $5. They don't know the girls you brought aren't that slutty and they're just dumb. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's fine.
I think I'm objectifying women, but when it comes to college
sure,
parties,
nice.
You have to bring women with you if you're going to get in, especially if you're a pudgy 40-year-old looking 19-year-old. Balding with a beard already.
40-year-old looking teenager.
Yeah, like, fuck. I was a cop. But I was not a cop. Was not.
I did not.
Did not do that. So points leaders for the week. We got, you guys going to guess who's leading the team in points, the singular leader in points this week?
Brian Elliott on assist only.
No.
Ah, fuck. All right. Voracek.
No.
Oh, wow.
Doyle? You're a little easier. He already canceled out one actual answer.
one of the top lines. It's got to be Giroux, then.
That is correct. Chloé Giroux.
Yeah.
He got 6 points this week with 2 goals, 4 assists after. He had, his 2 goals were nice, too.
By the way.
Nice shots by the Capitan.
Mr. Capitan is one goal away from tying his total output from last season. So,
oh, it's like we the bounce back year, whoever called that.
Yeah, wasn't us, apparently.
No, it wasn't us. Definitely wasn't me.
Think about it. I think we...
He's going to tear his ACL tomorrow.
No, there's already been one ACL torn in Philly sports. We don't need any more.
Yeah, what was it? Doyle was texting me during the Eagles game. We can talk about that a little bit, too. Embiid's out. Wentz is out, and like he said, that's wrap up Provorov.
Yeah, I said somebody put
bubble wrap.
Yeah. Somebody put Ivan Provorov bubble wrap.
And Patrick. Well, Patrick already had a concussion, too.
He's a delicate boy.
He's not, though. King Ivan has been crushing it still.
Ivan the Great.
I looked last night at Alex Galchenyuk's stats for the season.
I thought I was going to say gay porn for a second.
And, well, that's a good
I mean, if that's what he's into.
But no.
I was waiting for him to come out.
Galchenyuk has 17 points right now. And remember last season when it was clear the obvious trade to make was Giroux to the Habs for Galchenyuk.
I just feel like you read people that like have eggs as pictures. Do they even do that anymore? Like the new Twitter accounts that don't have any pictures?
No, I think it's just like every other social media where it's if you don't have a picture, it's just like an outline of a silhouette of a person.
Oh, okay, they don't have the
I feel
eggs
like
anymore.
That was the trade that was reported on by Eklund, too. Well, Eklund could be an egg, I guess.
Dude, Eklund has the Flyers
has the brain
as
power
5% in on Erik Karlsson. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, as Holmgren is making calls, pulling the old, like, I'm in the front office now, I'm no longer a GM, and just go like, hey, I'm driving the price up. He's doing one of those things where you just start bidding, drive the price up in a silent auction. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's probably what he did with McDonald and Lost.
That's what I thought he did with a lot of people. There's a lot of people going like, oh, the Flyers are on Nash too? No, shit.
I feel
it's crazy.
Like Holmgren was really good at outbidding himself. I'll give you $5 million a year. All right, I'll take it. I mean, seven. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
It's like Family Guy when Peter tries to haggle.
Was it a car dealership?
I think it was a funeral director or something for...
Yeah. McDonald's like, oh, I'll take a million. I'm just happy to be playing. It's like, fine, five. You twist my arm. Let go of my balls.
Wow, my God, his balls were involved.
Yeah, I'm in a grip.
His balls of steel that he dropped on Nashville. For that
but I said, if the Flyers traded Claude Giroux, I hope he would just win a cup and then just put up double middle fingers to the Flyers every time he came back.
But I want him to win a cup here, though. It's where he
no, I'm, I want him to
here where he belongs.
But I'm saying to all the people that wanted him gone, if that actually happened, that's what I would want to happen. I'd want him to win a cup somewhere else and then come back and flip double middle fingers.
I'm glad you brought this up. We actually recorded a statement earlier as a podcast towards the people who still want to trade Claude Giroux, whoever said it. Do you guys mind if we play it now? I was going to wait until the show, but can I play it now? Is that cool with you guys?
Sure, play it.
All right. It's really quick. We recorded it right before we started the show. Here we go.
Shut up, pussy.
That's right. Shut your fucking mouth.
The same
mouth.
People who wanted to trade Couturier are now like, oh my God, he's going to win the Selke.
Wait,
this
first
is awesome.
Line center?
Yeah.
First line center Couturier?
Well, him and Voracek flip spots.
Potential all-star.
Yeah.
Sean Couturier.
Potential, I mean, if he keeps up this offense, he's definitely going to get that Selke.
He already hit his, I think he's tied his goals already.
He has. And Drew's also back in the All-Star conversation this year as well.
The Selke trophy is like, that and the Norris trophy are like the horseshit awards because they're for defensive positions, but you have to have offense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's the stupidest
it's
thing.
It's because you're a defensive forward, you have to also have forward type output.
So like Provorov is a really good defenseman, but he'll probably never win the Norris.
Yeah.
And then Couturier should have won the Selke.
Well, how many points did Doughty put up when he won?
I think a decent. Well, no, Doughty's was a.
Eric Karlsson put up a ridiculous.
You should have won this like a couple years ago.
Well,
Karlsson give it to you
Burns.
Now.
But also,
really
Karlsson
can.
Is actually a really good defensive. He's not really good. He's a pretty damn good defensive defenseman, I'd argue too. Watch him in the playoffs.
He's got
last
a good
year.
Poke check action going.
Yeah, and he
on.
Also has good positioning, and he's got the quickness and the agility to be able to separate players from pucks like before they even get to him. Sometimes,
yeah.
Just, like,
I mean,
his quick stick, kind of like Tiemann was back in the day.
He carried. That team through the playoffs.
Oh, yeah,
it
was
crazy.
You watch him. Like, he really deserves it. I know Jeff's point about the offensive defenseman.
Doughty had 51 points the year he won the Norris.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, that's like a good amount of points. But
for a defenseman. But yeah,
compared
just,
to, like,
it's
what
a,
Burns and frickin'
yeah,
Karlsson put up.
It's a dumb metric to measure. Like, all right, you're the best defensive forward.
All right, here's another one.
But you only have 5 goals, so you don't win the Selke.
How about Duncan Keith?
Old slash him in the faith, Duncan McKeith.
Duncan McKeith?
That's what I call him.
Did
Duncan
he win
McKeith.
The Norris the year that the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup?
Which time?
there was three of them. God damn it. Damn.
The only one I was happy about was when teaming in.
Wait, don't say 2010 because we were talking about that.
God, no.
I think that's
already went down that rabbit hole.
I think that's the year he won the
out North of 120 Tokyo. Episodes, I wonder how many times we mentioned 2010.
69, 2010, 65%. 69 points.
Wait.
Oh.
Nice.
That's why he won it.
69 points the first the year he time. Won it, and then the second time he won it, he had 61.
Listeners, okay. If you think Jeff says one weird, call 347 Puck and let us know how you feel about
yeah.
it.
He also,
unless you know who this mysterious Juan is.
Yeah. He also won the Conn Smythe the next year with 45 points.
His name is Juan Vincenzo. He's the son of Italian and Puerto Rican immigrants.
So basically,
great tan in the summer.
You have to get a lot of points to win.
Well, I think Provorov. I think Provorov is capable of that. At some
Although,
point.
Provorov will have a very nice cabinet of Barry Ashby awards for yes. the foreseeable future.
Him and Timonen.
Yeah,
this is the biggest Barry Ashby award
for the foreseeable future. It's
for those
be
you don't
Provorov
who
awards.
Aren't in the know, Barry Ashby Award is the Flyers team award given to the team's best defenseman and most valuable.
How many times do you think Rico won that?
He won it a lot. He won it, I think, at least six or seven times.
Yeah, a lot.
And I'm pretty sure Timonen won it close to five or six as well. So we, I mean,
the last couple of years, it's been it's been obvious.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much Provorov or nobody. Just throw the award away.
Yeah, it's like what it was. Ghost was the year that he came up, and then Provorov was last year, and then like they're just like, whatever, we'll just throw it at Timonen. Pronger did a good. He gets one.
Sure, why not?
You were never like, oh my god, I'm biting my fingers. Is it Krejcik? Is it Sean O'Donnell?
Is it that great prospect Ryan Parent? We're supposed to. Like, Nashville is breeding for us. Never buy something breeding in Nashville.
Sean O'Donnell.
Let's just keep.
Sean O'Donnell and Andre Mazarias, best defensive.
Andre Mazarias,
best defensive pairing that year.
Nashville had so many good.
They were
defensemen.
So protected though.
Oh yeah. But they had, I think at one point, they had the best plus-minus in the league.
Yeah, because they were playing against the teams like third lines all the time.
And then they
lines.
Got exposed.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was
Pierre DeBoer and the Devils
that
just dumping
just,
it to O'Donnell's
game
side.
Yeah. By Laviolette.
He would just turn oh, they dumped behind me. And like, whoop, got to turn around. And by the time he even thought about turning around, the team was already in on the forecheck and setting up plays on our mediocre goaltending and everything else. So that was fun.
Hey,
it was a good time.
In 2011, Bob was in that. Before we
well, that was the carousel.
Oh, he was mediocre goaltending though.
Yeah, in this playoffs.
But then again,
well.
Bob in the playoffs has never been good.
Yep.
So
yeah,
that's not gonna. It's the old Luongo or Brzgalov. Playoffs come and it's a mess.
Minus the great hot takes and interviews and tweets, which Brzgalov and Luongo respectively both provided while they did not play well in the playoffs.
That's true. Well, Bob didn't really speak English, so that was a real problem.
Oh yeah, get him out. Oh,
that
sorry.
Was. Yeah. That was hampering his tweeting.
Wait, he's Russian, right? We're allowed to hate him?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not following.
Collusion!
The social media narratives people are posting, I don't want to follow him anymore. So I think I'm going to take some time to bring up the fact that the Eagles season, also, if you've read Eagles Twitter.
Is over.
It's actually overwhelmingly positive on a lot of accounts, but there's also a lot of.
I feel like the next day everybody just was ready to jump off the bridge.
But now, as time goes on, they're thinking, wait a minute, we got like some regular season games. For those of you guys who don't follow the
there's
Eagles,
there's been plenty of cases where backup quarterbacks have come in and taken a team really far.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Trent Dilfer. Come on.
It's not ridiculous.
Doug
to think
Campbell.
Nick Foles is definitely better than Trent Dilfer.
But then look at, you had on two different occasions, you had Coy Detmer and AJ Feely get the Eagles all the way to the NFC Championship before McNabb came back.
Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, Jeff Garcia.
The problem is
Carson
Wentz is not coming back. He underwent ACL surgery today, Wednesday.
Yeah, I get that, but there's been backup quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl.
Nick Foles
hurt fucking Warner.
Not arguing again.
Came out of a ShopRite.
Nick Foles is better than the Dill for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, too, is like, it's not like he hasn't.
ShopRite, Michael Sam came out of the closet. Got
Jesus,
time.
That's offensive.
It's not offensive. That's actually a fact.
Oh, my God.
So only one got playing time. Thanks, ESPN.
Thanks for We're taking
poor guy's
there.
Life.
Yeah, God. Anyway, the...
You shut up, you pussies. Fight me. I'm not even drunk. Just doing what I think Beowulf would do.
Fight me. I'm not even drunk.
But Nick Foles has been...
Fight me. Everyone's
son of a
be
bitch.
Like,
he's been
drunk,
to the playoffs before.
Yes, and it, he drove the team down the field, and the Saints just had the ball.
Yeah, he would have won the game if the Eagles' defense wasn't trash.
He would have won it? No. Yeah. Is that when Kurt Coleman was still playing free safety, too? I believe it was.
Yeah, and that's when Darren Sproles got the – well, Darren Sproles started off by getting a kick return to, like, the 45 or 50-yard line.
Back when Darren Sproles was on the Saints.
Yeah.
That's what I say down there. I don't say it like that.
But, yeah, I think that if everything goes well, I mean, they're like, one of the top running teams in the league. I think they're second in yards per game.
One of the top defenses.
So just run the hell out of the ball. Pick your spots where – Foles can manage the game, and and you'll be okay. And then you need the defense to play as like a dominant defense,
which,
like,
they have at times this year.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
If they play like how they did at the end of the Rams game for the rest of the season and moving on through the playoffs, they'll be good.
I think also the team's going to step up and rally around him. And Foles has way better weapons than he had when he played here. And I think it really falls on the execution of the players, but mostly on Peterson and how he game plans.
I think the first, well, when they went to the playoffs, the weapons were pretty good. They still had LeSean, Deshaun, and Macklin still.
Weapons maybe aside. I'm sorry, offense as a whole. The offensive line was way worse at that point.
Yeah,
I think the offensive line was healthy that year, but I don't think the offensive line was as good as it could be this year, even without Peters. I think the offensive line has played better as a whole. Lane Johnson's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the team is better than Foles had before, let me put it that way, instead of saying weapons, because you're right, I forgot about Macklin and Deshaun. And, the road's definitely going to be harder, but they can still do it, and they have three regular season games against subpar and also slightly above average opponents, depending on how you view the Raiders and Cowboys to really...
Yeah, and then if they can get home field advantage, I mean...
first-round bye, all you have to do is win one or two games in the Super Bowl.
If you get home field advantage, you have two home games on the way to the Super Bowl.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Especially with the Eagles, and if they play Seattle again, it's a lot different than playing Seattle.
In Seattle, yeah.
And everything else. So Jeff doesn't like football. This is the part where I love because he hasn't talked in a while.
No, there's no reason to pipe in fake crowd noise when you're playing
Seattle
at home.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. So I'm more positive about it, but I did like reading some of the Eagles' Twitter. It's funny because after we lost to the Seahawks, some people were freaking out too, but it's just a weird thing with this team this year. I guess the positivity of Carson Wentz and Peterson, like, I guess I know I'm not religious at all. I know a lot of Eagles fans aren't because I see the way they drink on Sundays and most days. But, like, just he's always like, you know, whatever. I know the Lord has a plan for me. And, like, usually I'm like, shut the fuck up. And I'm like, oh, he's just so nice. I can't even be mad at the guy. I would hate him anyway, but it wouldn't annoy. Religious stuff really annoys me, but it doesn't seem like it's preachy. He's just like, this is what I believe.
And yeah.
I trust in, like, the team. He even made a statement online saying, like, I know not all you guys believe in, you know faith values I do, but, you know, I just believe it, and the team's going to be fine. And, dude, you know Nick Foles got this. He's been waiting for this moment. Shunned from Philadelphia after being traded for fucking Sam Bradford. Everyone's like, wait, what? Nick Foles?
Looks like
Sam
Napoleon
Bradford?
Dynamite.
Looks like Sunshine from Remember the Titans. I mean, there's so many comparisons. goes to St. Louis when they suck, gets kicked out.
Yeah, him and Case Keenum were both there.
Go to Kansas City with Andy Reid. Meh, doesn't really work out too well.
Yeah, plays like... Well, he did play...
He's a backup there, though, right?
He played a couple games last year, and I'm pretty sure they won every game he played.
They won? Really? No shit.
Yeah.
Redemption is spelled Foles.
You could say F-O-L-E-S. You're supposed to
spell it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Redemption is spelled N-I-C-K. Your favorite snack is spelled D-I-C-K.
Oh. Well... I don't see why.
What are you munching on tonight, buddy?
It's offensive. I'm offended.
It is offensive. Well, shut up.
Sound the SJW alarm.
Anywho, so those of you guys who like the Eagles, and you can stop fast-forwarding now.
Right. Back to the Flyers. I wanted to talk time on ice, guys.
Oh, yes. This is the pressing moment of the day.
So there's two things I want to cover. One of them is one that Doyle pointed out. Mitch Marner and Michael Nylander played... I want to say like 10 minutes on average the last game before they played the Flyers. And so you would argue that Nylander and Marner are better than Wheel and Konechny?
Yeah, Marner has more points than Konechny.
So,
right now,
so they should be getting more ice time, but they aren't.
And Marner's playing on the fourth line.
But nobody's been like, ugh, Mike Babcock, you're a boner. What are you doing?
Although, the way he reacted, remember the clapping he did? Yeah. Face off, like, yeah, Mike Clapcock, just go.
Did you read his lips when he said, yeah. And then after that, he said, fuck me.
I'm pretty sure the refs gave him a warning on the bench to go.
Oh, I think so.
Relax, bub. I'm pretty sure I heard Tarion say that.
So then I went on NHL.com and looked up the time on ice stats for the Flyers. And Konechny, Wheel, and Patrick are all averaging more time on ice than Yuri Laterra and Dale Weiss. So,
well, I would hope that.
Right, but everybody is...
only because they see them in the lineup, they freak out.
Everybody's on board with the, oh my God, they never play Konechny in the third period, or they never play Konechny when the game matters, but the average ice times beg to differ with your stupid observation.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel like Weiss gets like, I can't believe Weiss is getting playing time over whatever.
Weiss's average time on ice, 10:28. Yeah. Nolan Patrick's average time on ice, a second under 12 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of like, that's why I don't get why people are making it such a big deal, because if you look at a lot of rookies, I think even Nico Hischier, who's having a pretty good season himself, is only averaging like maybe 14 minutes of ice time a game, 14
and
or 15 minutes.
That's only because he probably has to, because I think the Devils don't really have... The Devils don't have the star power on offense for him not to play.
Yeah. I mean, and then I'm trying to think of like what other rookies are.
Provorov got more ice time last year out of necessity because he's
well,
defensive.
Yeah, Provorov
one.
Got more.
And also number
he's
two.
He's a very special
he was,
case.
He would have and could have won the Calder if not for a, I mean.
Well, I mean, look at this year's. Couturier second on the team with 21:06 in average ice time. Provorov's first with 24:56. That's literally 3 minutes. Almost 4 minutes more.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that he is far and away the ice time leader for the entire team.
And while we're talking about young guns for a second, what did you guys talk about
great
the...
Great rap group.
The, yeah, Can't Stop, Won't Stop.
Microphone.
did you guys talk about the Nolan Patrick hot takes that were flying around last week?
No, we didn't. Jeff was very lenient on the hot takes. Jeff and I were very civil last
I
week.
I kind of fell
weird.
Off
I think,
Twitter because
I feel
I
like
hate
you're a problem for our relationship.
No, I took a step back from Twitter because the 10-game losing streak brought out literally the worst in everybody.
Yeah, I don't like even right now. I haven't really been trying.
Yeah,
to...
so I kind of took a step back from hot takes because it wasn't fun anymore. It stopped being fun,
dude. I can't even
where
look,
I've been.
I can't
hearing...
look at my Facebook anymore. And there's barely any sports talk with a flyer. It's just everyone has hot takes now.
The hot takes that I read like a lot of Bill Meltzer's articles, and like the comment section in there is actually for the most part pretty civil.
What, in the Hockey Buzz forums?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good, and you have your idiots as well.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Some that,
and, like, there's a couple
some
people.
Some of them tweeted us during the game. Some of those people on that message board, like, they'll tweet during the game.
Oh, really?
I recognize them, because I used to be on the message board a lot more when I was younger. Anyway, I wanted to agree with you.
But, yeah, there are a few people who are, like, pretty much say, Nolan Patrick stinks, send him to the World Juniors so he can get his confidence back.
Right.
Risk him getting injured.
Yeah.
And a thing that does not help the Flyers really at all.
Yeah.
He's playing in a second power play unit role and top nine role.
Yeah, well, he hasn't looked good recently.
You know how easy the transition.
The girls I fucked, but I just drank until I did.
You know how easy it is to transition to the NHL after never playing there previously?
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that he had, what, two hernia surgeries in like 8 months or something like that? 12 months, maybe,
yeah,
a year.
And especially he got to get his
and then he got a
and we drafted him, and it was like, oh, yeah. Boy, this guy's going to be in trouble.
Yeah,
well, look at what happened to Ghost and Giroux. They got similar surgeries. It took them the whole season
it
to come back.
It should have been traded.
Yeah.
See, this is fun. I'm going to be Jeff.
And then he got concussed.
I already hate myself more right now.
Then he got concussed. So he's like just been thrown adversity since he's got here.
When I was a little kid in class, teacher would always say, hey, I said, shit. She's like, don't concuss during class.
Don't concuss.
I was cussing.
Why would you? What's the con part,
yeah.
though? I don't understand.
Oh, my fucking God.
If you were like, I robbed a grocery store and then I cursed, then it would be a concussed.
Jesus Christ.
We were having too good of a conversation. I just
Jesus.
Leveled
yeah,
out.
Thanks.
I'm a Libra. I'm all about the balance, people.
It's true, though. Plus, okay, so you look at, he's coming off two hernia surgeries. He's never played in the NHL at all before. He's played like eight.
Shut the fuck up.
He played eight games, nine games, and then he gets concussed and missed, what, like a handful of games?
It was a good amount of time. It was
so like
his
off-season
like 3 weeks almost, it felt like.
Like,
it
he's never had a chance to condition for an NHL season because he doesn't know what an NHL season is like.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he starts playing and getting up to game speed, his brain turns into pudding.
I'm in condition forever because I'm bald.
And now he comes back.
It was a hair joke. Why'd you make it a fat joke? It's offensive.
So he comes back, and he's getting in the game shape, but I guess he's just not doing it fast enough, and everyone hates him now, and they should have traded the pick for Marc-Andre Fleury, I guess.
God damn it.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Did he ever come back yet?
Yeah, I think he played Tuesday.
Nice. What the fuck is going on in Las Vegas, by the way? These guys throw a freaking, league of their own roster together, and then they just do it.
The NHL wanted parity. And they gave the Vegas Golden Knights a real good chance.
But they
wanted
parity. They should see the way their refs call games. Oh.
They gave Vegas a real good chance to be good out of the gate. Way better than the Predators ever got.
And the Blue Jackets. Yeah. They're awful.
And the Hurricanes.
You guys can just pick a...
Are you going next? What's the new
experience? Whoever.
Wild.
The Wild. Right. The Thrashers.
The Thrashers. The Jets.
That's been this week's Name All the Expansion Teams You Haven't Lived Through. Thank you for listening.
Phoenix.
Wanted to bring up the cap hit situation. Bill Meltzer, again, the gospel of the Flyers, as I would put him as being one of the more balanced and,
he's the only one left.
Objectively.
So, he's the only one left that doesn't write to headlines.
Well, because he actually gets real gigs at NHL.com and the Flyers.
Yeah.
And some of them are more, they're not always fluff pieces, but they're a little more fluffy. But if you actually read his blog on Hockey Buzz, he gives more nuanced opinions about
the team. Him and Isaac.
Yeah, that's
probably
like
the
last thing.
He also covered the Stars for a while too, so he actually doesn't know his hockey. It's not like he's just a Flyers. He is a Flyers homer. He grew up watching the Broad Street Bullies in the '70s.
Yeah, it's really only him and Isaac.
The other thing I like about
Isaac too,
like that comment board too. Going back to that real quick, is that he actually interacts with people on it too. He'll answer a lot of people throughout the entire message board. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he will comment back. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote an article about the salary cap, and he made a point saying how this year we actually had room under the salary cap this year starting out, and even with the injuries and even without injuries, we've been able to call up whoever we want at will.
Yeah, we haven't had to use the LTIR to stash someone to use their cap.
And I also think part of that is having a lot of rookies and young guys with not huge contracts as well, but that definitely does help without having dead money on the roster. And he looked ahead at a bunch of things. He said this will be the first offseason since the one we signed Danny Briere and Hartnell and Teeminen after we traded for them back in 08, or summer of 07 into the 08 season, that we will have cap space like this.
Ton of money. Because
Philip will be coming off with $5 million. Matt Reed with $3.625 million will be unrestricted free agent as well. Brandon Manning will be on, it's $975,000. Yeah. And finally, Umberger's buyout at 1.5 will come off.
Yeah, dynamite.
Even if the Flyers buy out Jory Lehterä, he's saying, they'll add $3.3 million in cap savings. They'll still have a $1.67 million cap hit penalty. So meaning,
for how long, though?
I think it's
1 year, 2 years?
I think he has 1 year left next
just
year.
Just for 1 year.
That's not bad at all, yeah.
And they have we have a bunch of young guys that are going to be expiring their next year or the years forward.
Yeah, you figure Provorov's not going to get a bridge deal because Hextall would be stupid to give him a bridge.
Haig, Morin will be RFAs, and Lear as well.
Well, so you got Haig, Morin, and Lear. You can qualify all of them.
Yes.
And then you'll get a number. I mean, Provorov, if Hextall doesn't, they're not going to bridge him, right? I think we are all in agreement that Provorov's the real deal. He's going
to
get.
Well, he also argued that they might try to extend Provorov now before.
Right, smart. So that's what he did.
Get him on a bargain.
Well, that's what he did with Ghost.
Simmons.
Hextall gave Ghost the 4 or 5 year contract at 4.5, and then literally every other defenseman that was similar to him started signing for more than that. And Hextall looks like a genius because he got Ghost a month before, all the dominoes fell. And Ghost could have easily got $1 million more a year, if not more than that.
All right, moving into that.
So just real quick, they're looking at possibly 10 to $11.1 million projected cap space, with maybe another couple mil with a buyout Lehterä.
And that's with two goalies locked up and the line that's producing all of your points locked up.
And he brought up to the point that the Simmons is a crucial decision, along with the fact that the Flyers could potentially... The free agent market this summer projects to be a lot deeper, not deeper, more valuable than last year's, last summer's.
Right, last summer's free agent market
it was
sucked.
Nothing.
Rajalov,
it would also, he said the two big decisions he has are number one, what they do with Simmons, which we've talked about ad nauseum lately, and also we've mentioned as of 2 years ago even, and whether or not they pursue somebody in free agency that might be able to add to this team.
It might have been
a playoff team.
It might have been Meltzer that said if they trade Simmons, unless they really have to be out of it, but they'll probably wait until the summer and do it right before the draft.
Yeah, that guy could work too.
That's the odds of where they think. It might have been Meltzer that said it.
Hextall likes acquiring picks and all that stuff, so that could really work.
Would you? I mean, I haven't looked at what centers are available next year, but would you bring back Filppula at a lesser cap hit?
Do you think he would take a lesser cap hit, though?
He might.
I mean, not like his plays like lighting the world on fire.
You just want to look at centers only.
But like somebody might take him.
Joe Thornton will be available.
Jumbo Joe.
One-year deal for like Henrik? $8 million.
Oh, Paul Johnny Ste- Johnny Tease.
Yeah, John Tavares.
Yeah, right. We're not going to sign him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Islanders are doing good, but they still don't have a stadium situation, and like, can Garth Snow really sell him?
Bring in both Sedins.
Yeah, Bozak.
What if Tavares went to free agency, though? Well, like, do you think the Flyers would make a hard push for him?
They could. That
they
would be...
could, but...
He would want so much money, though.
Would you knock Couturier down?
Oh, well, no. I mean, yeah, that's tough.
Well, I guess
like,
the hope would be that...
Because you can play... you can keep Drew at the wing, but would you knock Couturier down to play second-line center?
But then you also have to look at the rumblings now are because Vegas is doing so good... And they're bringing in so much new money that the cap's expected to rise close to $80 million, and I think right now it's like 74 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So like that gives you more money to play with now. So like Hextall has even potentially even more cap space than he already has.
What if the Flyers went for Tyler Bozak?
And well, like so,
or he's Michael a, he Backlund, would be... Lars Eller will be available as well.
Yeah, Leo Komarov. Huh?
Oh God!
I mean, some of those names aren't as Athanasu, appealing.
Athanasu is actually really fast, and Detroit fucked up his situation totally. So I could see him going
Lars Eller
somewhere else.
Lars Eller at Bozak would be interesting because, I mean, if it works out the way you want it to work out, Nolan Patrick's going to play second line center next year, and you'll have them slot in at third.
Lars
if you're not
going
to bring Filppula back,
what about Thomas Plekanec?
Lars Eller didn't really light the world on fire in Washington either. He's only making 3.5, so he could sign for like the same or less.
Maybe like even 3.75.
But this is like, so you have this potential to have all this cap space, and if it was Holmgren, you know that like that money's already spent. Like it's they're going to go out and sign somebody for $80 million. But like with Hextall, like he's just going to be like, oh my God, I got all this new money not to use. This is awesome.
Yeah, and like the other thing too that's interesting is like Hextall really hasn't had the money to like sign anybody like from free agency except for like his awful signings that he's made.
Well, like even Dale Weiss, it's not too terrible.
I think it, well the
cap
the problem,
hits 2.35, which
the
is
the problem
like not,
with Dale Weiss is how long his contract is.
Well, yeah, he shouldn't have got 4 or 5 years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
He got 3, didn't he?
Nah, he got 4.
He got 4 years.
But like to be fair, nobody expected him to be as terrible as he turned out to be cuz he was coming off a hot streak and
really
Canada slash
year,
the Blackhawks.
Is he really terrible this year? There's a lot of plays I see where he actually like, sets up. He sets up a lot of plays on the boards. For
I don't think he's
with him.
I think he gets a lot of crap that he doesn't deserve. I mean, like what we just looked over, the guy plays 10 minutes a night. I mean, you can't really hate on him too much. It's not like he's getting like 20 minutes a night.
Yeah, everyone's just angry
on the top line.
It's like Danik Martel's not in the lineup.
He's
but
playing
then,
third or fourth line most of the time. Like,
but then it's like if Danik Martel was in the lineup over Dale Weiss, where are you going to find more minutes for Danik Martel? Like, are you?
Well, you don't. You you sweep up and you grab JVR on the free agent wire, like you said earlier, or you could be a real asshole. It's not going to work. Get Dave Perron from the St. Louis. He's going to be unrestricted free agent.
That would be interesting.
But here's the real one.
Just bring in, I'm telling you, both Sedins.
Thomas Vanek will be a free agent.
Thomas
Vanek. We've been trying to get him since he was 28. Now he's 33. This is the year we get Thomas Vanek, people.
Fucking A, right.
My words.
Oh, Loophole's a free agent. Look at that.
It's not going to happen.
He's not playing again.
Yeah, it's like not a lot of big names. Like Michael Grabner is going to hit the free agent market. He's skates pretty well. Like that's a good third, fourth line signing.
Yeah, I feel like left wing availability is a lot better than right wing availability.
Yakupov's having a resurgence year, kind of. Like he's a good. He'll hit free agency and probably make some money. Then, you know, it's just all like, hey, basically in today's NHL, it's very rare that you're going to sign a free agent that turns the tides of the team. It's all through the draft.
No, it's just people to add pieces. Yeah. Like we need, please,
yeah, the
we
cap-
need people to add to our top nine, our fourth line. I think we should be go with the players we have. We can find people to fit those roles.
Yeah, I mean Taylor Lear,
Christopher
Scott
Stieg
Lawton
will also be a free agent.
Oh my God!
Oh, Ryan Reeves is going to be a free agent. That's a shame.
Did you see him get? I mean, this is going back forever ago. But did you see him get laid out when the Flyers played him.
When he when he went for the hit and bounced off that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget.
I think it was
Laterra
of all people.
Oh yeah, Laterra muscled up.
Oh, how it all comes back around.
So yeah, I don't the Flyers are in a pretty good position, and they it really depends
on they don't have to buy this year.
The real problem is now, like, Konechny had his growing pains in his first season. Now this season, like, is he progressing? Like, is Hextall going to look at him and be like, well, how much money does he really deserve? And then if the Flyers have to go to arbitration with people, it's a real slippery slope, because then it's like, well, you like this much, but we think you stink.
He's not up this year. He's up next year.
Oh, yeah, but, like, is he going to, like, you know for sure Provorov is probably not going to get bridge-dealed because it'd be stupid to. But, like, you have these guys like Konechny. Are you going to bridge him? Are you going to sign him for long term? Or are you going to be like, you know what? I'm going
to
walk away.
We're going to walk out 3 years. Who cares? So.
I think if you had to do it right now, you'd have to bridge Konechny.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, they,
unless his play turns around. But he never gets any ice time in the third period, so how's he going to know if to sign him?
He's still only 20.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah, he has a lot of time.
Sons of bitches.
And speaking of time, do you guys know what time it is?
Oh, boy.
Do you guys even know? Cool. Do you know what time it is?
No, what time is it?
It's time for
Shibadoo Bop Bop Tweet of the Week. Yeah!
That's right, people. It's time for Tweet of the Week. That time of the show where you, the listener, you, the fan, or you, the random person on Twitter, has something that Jeff or me, but usually Jeff, finds funny, interesting, hilarious, or makes fun of Pierre Maguire, not to spoil it. But Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
From @SeanLloyd93, he tweeted, if Pierre Maguire was a GM, he would just spend his days randomly calling other GMs to tell them where their prospects grew up and went to school. Then he would hold a press conference to talk about how he's good friends with other GMs.
I actually love that because I could totally see it happening.
That's very Pierre Maguire,
it's
right?
It's a very observant and salient point, but also has enough of the humor. Going like, yeah, fuck Pierre Maguire. That's great. I love it.
Ronnie, baby, did you know that Carter Hart plays for the Everett Silvertips?
He also roomed with the son's boyfriend of some other player. Like, what?
Did
okay.
you know Travis Sanheim played for the Calgary Hitmen? It's like, Pierre, shut up.
Speaking of Hitmen, the movie's coming out this week. Want to see it? No.
It's 12:30. I want to go to sleep.
The reason why I never really laughed too hard at the tweet when you said it is because I read it earlier, but it's still a great tweet. So that was this week's
Tweet of the Week. Yeah.
So thank you @SeanLloyd93.
Yeah,
bring the
good
old,
work.
Young people on the show. Wow, look at us.
Wow,
expanding
all inclusive.
Our horizons.
All inclusive, like a vacation.
Minus the booze and the regret when you fuck the fat divorcee in the hot tub.
Before you do that, do you want to, since we're reminiscing all day.
Oh, no.
Do you want to do the active former Flyers lineup?
Oh yeah, Doyle. So Doyle put this together.
Yeah, yeah.
So Doyle, you got it in front of you right now?
Yeah.
All right. So Doyle had the idea to make a former Flyers, but only active players.
The current lineup using only former Flyers.
I stole
Flyers.
It offline. It wasn't all my idea, but
that are active.
That are currently active.
And Jeff and I will evaluate his said roster and make changes we like and think. So let's get into it.
All right. So top line, you got JVR. Braden Schenn and Sam Gagne. Second line, Patrick Sharp, Jeff Carter, Justin Williams. Third line, Chris Versteeg, Nick Cousins, Jaromir Jagr. And then fourth line, Scott Hartnell, Pierre-Edward Belmar, and Patrick Maroon. Then your first pairing on defense is Shea Weber, even though he's not technically a former Flyer.
Yeah, that's a point of contention. He was offer sheeted.
He was offer sheeted, so he was almost a Flyer.
Almost for a day.
I don't agree with that either, but go ahead.
So him and Braden Coburn, then Lucas Spezza.
Who? Oh, the guy we traded for Pronger, that guy? Yeah.
Lucas Spezza and Dan Hamhui.
Who we had the rights to.
but
not the lefts.
I'm going to go test free agency.
And then the bottom pairing is Luke Schenn and Dennis Seidenberg with your seventh defenseman as Michael Delzato.
I wanted to argue Shea Weber, but then I was trying to think of Flyers defensemen that are currently still in the league.
Well, he has Delzato as eighth defenseman. We just slide Delzato in.
Oh, I know, but like even like outside of who you picked, what other former defensemen are still in the league that played for the Flyers?
I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like Grossman's gone, right?
Yeah, Grossman's gone. Grossman's in Sweden now.
Pickenin's gone. I don't know, Sean O'Donnell, Krejcik, Oliver Lauridsen.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan Parent, he fell out.
Brandon Manning. Oh, wait, fuck, he's still on the team. Shit.
Yeah. That's tough. I don't even know if there's like another.
I'll just go MDZ and just cut out Weber, but I think you did a good job there putting it all with
and
the
then
former Flyers.
Goalies are obvious. Bobrovsky and Mason.
No, that's pretty much
no,
it.
No, I think that's it. Yeah.
There's really no
that's
one else.
Really everybody left.
Yeah, I guess Mike Richards doesn't have a contract. Can't
no, Richards is not currently active in the league.
Okay.
So he's out. Carter's a good choice. And then for forward wides, too, like maybe, did you put Justin Williams in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would put Justin Williams
he's
in there
on
for sure.
The old heads line in Jeff Carter, Patrick Sharp,
my only
and
suggestion
Williams.
For goalie is I think Cal Heater's still in the league, and he played one game.
Shut the hell up.
I'll take Bob. He is not on an NHL roster. Give me a fucking break.
I think Cal Heater's playing for the Blues, isn't he?
I don't think so. Please, please God, no.
Oh, no, he's
no,
playing in the ECHL.
God, no. Shut up. I looked at Max Talbot, he's playing in the KHL right now. That's not going to work.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, there's a lot of former Flyers overseas right now.
Yeah,
I don't know if
well,
that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's really bad. Like, look at. I think we've talked about this before, but like, look at the amount
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, mediocrity there.
Yeah. But look at the amount of people who played for the Flyers and then like the very next year weren't even in the league.
Oh yeah,
like
a lot of these European
Van
guys. Van
Develde and Zhirdev.
Oh yeah,
Zhirdev. Oh God, remember Andreas?
We weren't the only team to take him though.
Yeah, but still,
Andreas Nodal.
Nodal, no goal.
Yeah, he's awful.
Number 15. How about you can go with even Lubimov,
Rome, yeah.
Medvedev.
Oh yeah, Medvedev.
Yeah, there's a lot of that's just
Gustafsson, the bastard.
Doyle, I like
Eric.
I like your lines though, and I probably wouldn't change much minus the Weber. I would like to think longer and think if I can get someone to replace Peb, but
yeah, that one was interesting too because
not a bad fourth line center with
Maroon
and Hartsey especially.
It's like him. I couldn't figure out who to put on the top line because.
Time again.
Oh, dude. No
Tom Sestito, is he still playing anywhere? Come on, guys.
I think they're
I think
all in the AHL.
Yeah,
I don't
think
any
the
of them
NHL.
Played in the NHL.
Only on our team because they make the roster because we had such
I mean,
a
I'm pretty sure Ryan White you could do. I think, he's still in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, Delco, Ryan White.
Yeah, no, Ryan White. Is he on Minnesota or is he playing in Phoenix?
He was on,
I thought it was him, Nick Cousins, and Luke Shen are all in Phoenix together.
Oh yeah! Don't Google Ryan White. You get the one that
the one who had AIDS.
Yeah, you can always get him. he's playing with the San Diego Gulls in the AHL.
So here's how I looked at it: was you had, Sam Gagne.
Scumbag, look at his long hair.
Sam Gagne plays center technically, but he played wing for the Flyers.
I think he plays wing for the Canucks now, doesn't he?
I have no idea, but out like that first line was like, all right, I'll just throw Sam Gagne there, and then for the. Bottom line, it was like, all right, do I put Sam Gagne here and move like someone up to the first line and then put like Zach Ronaldo there and just leave Peb off? All
Zeke
completely?
Ronaldo? No, I feel like Peb's better than Ronaldo. That's not saying much, but.
Yeah.
Dude, trying to find, I'm going through the Flyers, like the list of all time Flyers on
Colin
Wikipedia.
Forbes.
And like, it's really hard to find people that aren't on your list who are still playing. Like, Steve Downey's currently a free agent, but not with a team. And you're just like looking at all these names, just from like Bruno Gervais.
No, my God.
Or Bruno Gervais.
Bruno Gervais and Curtis Foster. They were the worst.
Boyd Gordon still inactive?
Boyd Gordon is probably still inactive.
Yeah, he's still active. Look, he's got green.
Carlo Kuliakovo is playing in Germany right now. He's
a recent
unrestricted free agent. Yeah.
Carlo Kuliakovo. Oh
yeah, it's
God,
tough. There's a lot of guys who just like they left the Flyers and their careers died with them.
Yeah. Well, die with that Snyder. Anyway, guys.
Jesus.
Yeah, Pavel Kabina was one of my favorites.
We got him way too late.
Pavel Kabina for that.
If we would have got him like 3 years earlier,
that
awesome.
Half season.
Yeah.
That would be great.
You're a right hand shot. We totally need you.
And then, now.
Too bad you're 35.
Randy Jones.
Oh my God, no.
Oh, he's currently the head coach of a midget AAA team.
That made his Wikipedia page. I hope that's true. Let's talk about our current Flyers. Let's give out our weekly awards here. We give Lauren Hart waves to the Flyers. We think deserved it. Who wants to go first today? I'm gonna give you guys the option. I'm feeling nice today.
I'll go first
all
because
right, Doyle,
Jeff's still trying to find active players.
Doyle, who's your Lauren?
It's so hard.
That's what she said. Doyle, what's your Lauren Hart wave of the week?
I'm gonna go with the obvious choice because he's probably one of my favorite Flyers ever, Claude Giroux.
Claude Giroux,
especially after that no look between two legs pass last night to Sean Couturier for the game winner.
And then Sean Couturier with a freaking
Oh my god. With the fucking rocket.
Jesus. I got a puck on a string over the goalie's elbow. Sorry, that's how I would sing it if I was Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
I'll go Claude Giroux. Nice. Jeff, I'll give it to you now because I can go last that way. I don't have to worry about you going, you stole mine. You're going to cry on the way home.
Oh, yeah. Y'all ready for this?
Sorry.
Travis for finally getting a goal.
Who? Travis who? Sanheim? Joe the Rat's favorite player?
No, TK, I mean, it wasn't a good-looking goal, but it went in, so maybe that'll turn the tides for him.
Okay.
You know? Get him going a little bit because he skates really well all the time. He just doesn't hit the net with his shots most of the time, and that's a real problem.
Yeah, and he's had a problem putting passes off the boards to the wrong team.
So, you know, maybe he gets his goal. He starts gets a little confidence, starts rolling. Look what happened to Coots.
All right, I dig it. Now, mine, we didn't even talk about this guy. We probably should have, but I don't like to patronize him like Twitter does. And Jeff's going to hate this. My Lauren Hart. Wave of the week goes to Michael Raffel. Michael Raffel had a really great, outstanding, noticeable week.
That's a good pick. He's on a hot streak right now.
Yeah, he's on a great hot streak. We didn't talk about him at all because we were just talking about other things. We had 3 points this week with 2 goals and assists, and they weren't just run-of-the-mill goals. He actually, he knew what the hell he was doing out there. And I don't think he's had a horrible season. Jeff would argue with me about that because I know you don't really.
I don't hate him. I just think
you
that,
hate him.
I think that they could hire people for less money to do what he does.
But they lowered him.
Yeah. Well, you know. Put him down in the bottom line, and then he gets offense. Offense starts happening. So, you know, I don't know. Who knows anymore? Nothing makes sense. The game
he did score 20 goals once.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when he played a lot on the top line, though. But, yeah, okay. Michael Raffel's my pick. So, anyway, guys, make sure you like and subscribe on iTunes and all that stuff. The store, the Christmas shopping's almost over for you people. We got 20% off coupon code DIBEES. But we have a quick little hit because Jeff was on Scuttlepuck this week. Last week we bet Mike Bond about if the Flyers won or the Oilers won, whatever team
to
won.
Read a statement.
The podcast like them. So Mike Bond is a hockey podcaster, but he's a soft spot for Edmonton Oilers, childhood favorite team, and we like the Flyers.
Plus
the Flyers won.
From Edmonton. So
yeah, it works. So the Flyers won, so he had to read a statement. So here's a little clip from Jeff on the show.
And I still think you guys are too hard on Doyle. I mean, you got to cut that guy some slack.
<That's> bullshit.
Poor guy. I always feel bad. I'm just a softy, I guess. I feel bad for the poor guy. it's a lot of fun, though. But anyway, so I will read this statement with complete sincerity. Okay, the Broad Street Bully Podcast, available on iTunes, Google Play, all major podcasting platforms, and broadstreetbully.net, provides the following to be read by Mike Bond of Scuttlepuck Podcast. That was quite a game. Didn't expect the Flyers to win since it was on the heels of that awful 10-game losing streak. Anyway, no hard feelings. McDavid can really skate.
Which is true. He's so fast. And watching him, like, even on plays where you don't think anything's going to happen, he just shoots out of his own zone so quickly.
I always get the most exciting play for me is when he starts coming from below the dots. And
who's coming from below the dots?
I call those things the tits when I used to play. My coach was like, all right, get it below the tits on this for the breakout.
But no, Mike was not expecting the statement to go that way at all.
Just be ready for next time, Mike. Bomb, we're coming for your neck. I'm in much creative control over this statement. Next one's going to be from the rough draft from Drew's desk.
Well, you know what? Like, because he was expecting, and like we thought about it, and then we're like, you know what? We're going to throw him for a loop. We're just going to completely 180 the statement.
It's like when you hear about people that get captured by the Taliban, and they're like, oh, you're going home today. They drive him out. They take the bag off their head, going, just kidding. They turn around like, no, I thought I was going home. You ever hear about that? They get them all showered, and they get feed them, and they get them all cleaned up. Like, oh, you're
that's
going
awful.
Home. To really fuck with them mentally. There's really stories of that happening in like some
that's
with
terrible.
War. And it definitely happened during Afghanistan.
No, I didn't know that was the thing that happened.
Oh, you're going back home. Just kidding. Back to the shitty place we did you. Just gave you it made you think you're going home and believe
it. That's terrible.
Yeah, really is terrible. But anyway, got a fan email today to the
Christopher Stieg. Found one.
At broadstreetboy.net.
Yeah, he was on the list.
Oh, fuck. I didn't hear you. I was looking for
names. Third line winger.
Damn it.
All right, so Ross V writes in, subject. No, I need a little background music for this.
Jeff Scotty?
No, I didn't.
Scotty Upshaw. There we go. One.
Yeah, there's another one.
I've been searching this whole fucking time.
I fucking hate that
Ross
this is
v.
the music behind this.
Ross V, subject DNF. He goes, Sitting at home and same old Lang Syne comes on the radio. The song has new meaning to me now.
I immediately placed a shotgun in my mouth.
That's not what he said. Don't. Ross V wrote this very nice message.
He had to send the email. He couldn't have.
Yeah. He said, yeah, unless he's like Stephen Hawking. He said, the song has a new meaning to me now thanks to you guys. Such a lovely tune. That's a real email, I swear to God. I'll let you look at these actual emails. IP address is not from around
from
here.
From not Drew Babsky.
From not Drew Flyer fan. Disguised as Ross V.
I just did this all. I drove like 8 hours away so we could never IP address from a Waffle House from Motel 6. But guys, it is the holiday season. And make sure you get... Tell
I don't
you
like
love.
That you don't play it at the best part. It well, really no. bugs
Doyle.
Me.
We're at 12 days of Christmas. We still have a few more weeks of this left, bucko.
That gets saved for the...
So next week, we have a special version of Vogelberg to play for you guys. I found it in the archives. But for now...
Live?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, my God.
So tune in next week for that and more takes from the Flyers. Upcoming week for the Flyers, real quick. They have a matchup. They have it tonight versus the Buffalo Sabres, Saturday versus Dallas Stars, Monday versus the LA Kings before coming back on Wednesday versus Detroit Red Wings. So make sure you tune into the Flyers. Keep cheering them all.
Can you turn it down? I can't hear you. Thanks.
That's kidding. So guys, keep checking on the Flyers, keep checking on us, and keep tweeting at the BSB Podcast on all the major platforms, like Instagram, Snapchat, and yeah, that's the way we do it here. Enjoy your week.
I just want to thank Mike Bond for sticking up for me. And also Leonard for not listening to last week's podcast because I wasn't on it. So.
I want to thank your insulin needles for always sticking it in you to give you nourishment and life that your pancreas so desperately needs.
I stick it into me. They don't do it.
Well, I want to do it to you next time.
To give you nourishment.
I'll trust you, Phyllis.
That's not my name. All right, guys. Goodbye. We'll catch you next time. Like to say she loved the men, but she did.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.